Today we're going to learn about Antiochus III from the realm of the King of the North, which is Syria. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, hi, and thank you so much for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. You are tuned in to another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and if you've been following along, we have been covering Daniel chapter 11, just that chapter. And it's important to know that there are 45 verses in just this one chapter. So we haven't actually gotten too far along. Pardon me. We're going to be covering verses 15 and 16 today. So let's get to it. Now, again, I want to remind my listeners that we need to understand that from Daniel's perspective, when he was first revealed this information, what we now understand as past history was future to Daniel. There are a number of things listed in Daniel 11 and have not yet occurred even up to and including our day, 2015. But much of the events in that chapter, chapter 11, have already occurred. They're well placed in history. We can refer to them. Other people have written about them, so we know what went on. But if you've not listened to the parts of Daniel chapter 11 that I've already recorded, I'd encourage you to do that. This is the sixth part that we're covering today, and you can also read about them if you'd prefer to read them on my blog, studygrowknowblog.com. That's studygrowknow, K-N-O-W, blog.com. So those articles are there for the reading, or you can have the audio installments here at Sermon Audio. But I would encourage you to place a little bit of catch-up on those things and bring you up to date on where we are. Now, before I get into more verses of Daniel 11, I'd like to mention something that a friend of mine recently sent to me as a link to a video which was titled Repairing the Breach. Now, it's by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Walter Veith. I believe I've correctly pronounced his last name, V-E-I-T-H. And my friend sent me this because he was previously part of the Seventh-day Adventist sect. Some would call it a cult. And his parents still are. Please be aware that if you watch anything or read anything by Dr. Walter Veith, you're basically going to be reading information from the Seventh-day Adventist perspective. And understand that I am not recommending that anyone watch any videos or read any information. He sent it to me because it was interesting. He had watched the video with his parents, who I guess were trying to convince him that he needed to come back to Seventh-day Adventism. So he began looking up things. And interestingly enough, after he put a query into the internet, it came up to my site here at Sermon Audio. So he sent me a link with the video and thought that that would be interesting for me to look at the video, to maybe comment on it. And what is interesting is, as most Seventh-day Adventists do, they tend to allegorize a good deal of Scripture to make it say what they want. And Seventh-day Adventists are not the only people who do that. A lot of people do that. Covenant, Reformed. A lot of individuals allegorize Scripture when there's no need to allegorize Scripture. They see symbolism as something that should be allegorized instead of something that should be understood literally. And by that, I mean it doesn't need to be understood literalistically, but for every symbol the Bible uses, there is generally one meaning for it. That's the literal meaning that we need to seek, that we need to understand. But regarding the above-mentioned video that I mentioned from Dr. Walter Veith, it's part of a 15-DVD set that details the prophecies of Daniel 11 from the Seventh-day Adventist perspective. And here's the blurb that they used to describe the video. Quote, "This new 15-DVD series includes an in-depth study on the King of the North found in Daniel 11 and discusses biblical prophecies and their modern applications. Veith unveils the King of the North as he is head of a global religio-political system that encompasses all religions. Also revealed will be the true identity of the King of the South. Is it Islam, as many claim? Is Allah the same as our God, as many proclaim him to be? Learn the similarities between Catholicism and the Quran, and be informed about the unifying measures that most world religions are participating in that diminish the truth about Jesus. Most importantly, be confirmed in the truth God has given his remnant, and prepare for the soon coming of Jesus Christ, unquote. Now, of course, Seventh-day Adventists believe that they are God's remnant. Anybody outside of the Seventh-day Adventist church is not part of the true church, is not part of the remnant. And you probably picked up that Dr. Veith believes that the Quran and Catholicism, they tend to be connected. And ultimately, what Dr. Veith believes is that the Antichrist will arise out of the papal system in Italy. But it's just really interesting. Some of the other things that stuck out at me when he says, note the blurb that proclaims that Dr. Walter Veith will identify the true identity of the King of the South. Well, this is referring to the identity of the King of the South, starting with verse 36 of Daniel 11 and following. Now, if we begin there, we switch to the distant future from our perspective. So Dr. Veith is commenting on who this King of the South will be in the future, because obviously the King of the South has never only been one person. The geographical area contained in the South, over which the King of the South reigned or ruled, has always been Egypt in Scripture. And in the North, even though Dr. Veith comes to a completely different realization here, the King of the North is actually Syria. So it's really interesting, and I don't have time nor the desire to go into all the differences between what Seventh-day Adventism teaches and what I teach, but we'll probably mention one or two as we go along here. So bear in mind that Dr. Veith is pointing out what's going to happen in the future, beginning in verse 36 of Daniel 11. And we need to avoid, though, what Dr. Veith does, where he simply fails to understand biblical text in its most plain and ordinary sense, and he prefers allegory instead. Let me give you one example, because this kind of ties in with what we're talking about, and it shows us how we can avoid making the same kind of mistakes. But as one example, during the video presentation, Dr. Veith refers to Psalm 89:12, which speaks of the directions, the north and the south. And he attempts to tie this in with Ezekiel 21, verses 3 and 4, where it specifically speaks about Israel. Now, unfortunately, in my opinion, for Dr. Veith, this particular reference to the north and the south, though, as used specifically in Psalm 89, has nothing to do with the King of the South or the King of the North, as referenced in Daniel. The use of south and north here is simply personified by the psalmist's reference to Tabor and Hermon, which are two mountains that are juxtaposed, with the former as being a very, very low spot on the earth at 1,900 feet, and compared to the latter, Hermon, a rather high spot on God's earth at 9,000 feet. Directions is what we're talking about here. North direction, south direction. And we're talking about up, straight up in the sky, as opposed to straight down. That would still be viewed as a northern or a southern direction. So they need to be understood within their original context, like anything else. And that's something that Dr. Veith fails at, in my opinion. Wish we had more time to go over that, but we don't. But just be aware of people who allegorize Scripture in general. But let's pick things up where we left off last time. We want to read from Daniel 11, 15 through 16. Quote, "Then the king of the north will come, cast up a siege ramp, and capture a well-fortified city. And the forces of the south will not stand their ground, not even their choicest troops, for there will be no strength to make a stand. But he who comes against him will do as he pleases, and no one will be able to withstand him. He will also stay for a time in the beautiful land with destruction in his hand," unquote. So what's happening here? Well, as history has proven to us, the king of the north turns out to be Antiochus III the Great at this point in time, verses 16 and 15 of Daniel 11. And Antiochus III the Great was around from 223 to 187 BC. He attacked and defeated Sidon in 200 BC, and the king of the south at that time was Ptolemy the Fifth Epiphanes, 2003 to 181 BC. Now, the king of the south here in scripture normally refers to Egypt because that nation is nearly due south of Israel. Israel here is referenced as the beautiful land. And the king of the north normally refers to whoever controls the area of Syria because that is the area essentially due north of Israel. This never really changes, and if people would simply understand this, their interpretations of scripture related to these things would certainly be more biblical and therefore correct. Now, it's fascinating. It is absolutely a fascinating trip that gets us from Antiochus the First through the Third. Ultimately, though, and this is important, ultimately, though, God is going to get us all the way to Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, who is a type of Antichrist or final man of sin, whom Paul refers to in 2 Thessalonians 2. Following Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, the next person on the horizon with respect to God's prophetic discourse is the Antichrist himself. Now, since Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, there have actually literally been many, many individuals who remind us of some of the characters that the Antichrist is going to have. Certainly Stalin, Hitler, obviously, whose direct attack and determination to eradicate all Jews reminds us of what the Antichrist is going to try to accomplish. And certainly Antiochus tried to do that as well, not to the extent that Hitler did. So we might even look back in our recent history and say, certainly Hitler was a very much a type of Antichrist. Here was a guy who wanted to rule the world and was, you know, literally ramrodding from one country to the next and destroying as many Jews and others as he could. But I find this fascinating because the Lord leads us right to Antichrist's door, but gets us there through concrete history, stuff that we could look back on and say, we know for a surety that this happened. We can compare it to Scripture and know that this is what Scripture is talking about. Remember, all this involves Israel, which is why Daniel is learning about it from the angelic messenger to begin with. It's all Israel. So verses 15 and 16 that I just read appear to be very specific. Do we have anything in history that provides that information and verifies God's word? Not that it needs verification, by the way, but that's always helpful. And it is also the reason Daniel was given the information. When we have things that verify God's word, it tends to silence the critics. People who are not going to believe God's word is worthy, is filled with integrity, nothing we can say will change their mind. But what we could do is silence them, and they have no response back to it. And that's the good thing about secular history, because it proves, in many respects, what God has already told us. And again, this information was first revealed to Daniel long before any of it happened. So when it did happen, it tended to verify God's integrity as if it needed verification, right? So is there anything that verifies God's word? Yes. According to Dr. Constable, after Antiochus III defeated Sidon, he forced the Egyptian general Scopas, whom he had recently defeated at Peneus, that's the biblical area of Dan, near the headwaters of the Jordan River, to surrender. There was also a different king of the north at this time. That was Seleucus the Fourth Philopater, and he reigned from or lived from 187 to 175 BC. So it would appear that Antiochus III is without a country, but it also appears that he is fighting for Palestine. Now, even though others tried to free General Scopas from Sidon, the attempts were failures. Antiochus III continued using Sidon to his own ends and gained more control over Palestine with little to no opposition from Egypt, who is the king of the south, or the kingdom of the south. Interestingly enough, Scopas essentially and ultimately surrendered to Antiochus III, which placed control of the Holy Land itself, this is interesting, into the hands of the Syrians, and the Syrians represent the kingdom of the north. So when Antiochus III entered Jerusalem, the populace welcomed him as a deliverer and benefactor, even though that still didn't work out that well, and we're going to find out more about that. Now, next time we get together, we're going to cover verses 17 through 20 of Daniel 11, because it will take us right up to the doorstep of Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, the very man referred to by Jesus in his Olivet Discourse. But before we go, I want to tell you this also. Since Syria, according to scriptures, and especially Daniel, has always been connected with the kingdom of the north, and whoever controlled Syria was, in scripture, the king of the north, we have some interesting things going on there today. We've got Assad, who is essentially the in control of Syria. He is trying to maintain his control over Syria, even though Western forces supplied with weapons from the United States and others are trying to oust Assad. But interestingly enough, Vladimir Putin from Russia has been helping Assad and will continue to help Assad. So from a biblical perspective, if we were to say today, well, who is the king of the north? It would have to be Assad. And we know that parts of chapter 11, the latter portion of chapter 11 of Daniel, also mention the king of the north and the king of the south. And there are other portions of scripture which also mention those two areas, even into the end times and during the times of the tribulation. So it's a fascinating thing. I'm not going to, you know, give any more specifics than that because it would all be guesswork. But the area, the region that is considered to be the kingdom of the north and the kingdom of the south, Egypt and Syria, still exists to this day. God is not done. There are other things going to be happening, and we need to keep apprised of it. But before we do, before we get that far into the future, we're going to continue with verses 17 through 20 of Daniel 11 next time. So I hope you'll join me then. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.